Good to see everyone this morning. Hope everyone's healthy and well. I know that there's been a lot of sickness going around, not only down here, but up by us too. In Indiana, we've had some family members fall ill, some with the flu, some with tonsillitis, just a bunch of other crud and nastiness. And so it's good to see that there's some that are healthy and strong here this morning, ready to come and worship God together and fellowship. There's no better place to be than in the house of God on the Lord's Day. Amen. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad and thankful that your preacher asked me to come and fill in while he was gone. If for some reason you don't know who I am, my name's Eric Moore. My wife Holly and four girls and our boy are with me. We're relation to Rick, and so we've been in the church before different times, and I'm just saying that just in case if there's a new face or somebody that doesn't know who we are. I pastored for about 7 years at the Grants Creek Baptist Church in Rising Sun, Indiana. The Lord called us to the mission field. We went to the mission field then. We were there about 2 years. My wife fell ill, and we had to come back. And so we've been back now, I think, just a little over 15, 16 months. I've been doing some secular work in the meantime, but the Lord seemed to have closed the door there. I was trying to pay down some debt that I incurred from moving back and forth and selling everything that I had and then trying to regroup again, which again, there's lessons in all of it. I did at one time think I became a little bitter towards God and I needed to learn some lessons about service and love towards Him. And that might be a sermon some other time. But my assignment was cut short. We were recently in Massachusetts. I was working there, and my assignment was cut short. Needless to say, I was fired. I was kind of pushed out of my position on a Friday evening. And here I am, you know, 1,000-something miles away from what I know of home. With five kids and a wife, and 2 weeks before Christmas, thinking, what am I going to do now? And all I did was just pray and ask God, Lord, just show me the next steps you'd have me to take. I valued my work. I valued myself as a Christian individual and as a human being. And some of the things that we were going through in the workplace was very demoralizing and wrong. There was a lot of injustice taking place. I could have stayed on if I wanted to. But as I was praying Saturday and Sunday, we were in a good church up in Rhode Island, actually, is where we went to church. And I was praying that Sunday morning, Lord, this is something so unexpected that your hand has to be in this somewhere. And he goes, why is this going to happen at this time? And for what purpose and for what reason? And I've known that God has a call on my life to fulfill His work and to do His will, especially in the interest of teaching and preaching. But I kind of had God on my own time frame, that when I was ready and when I had most of my debt paid down, then I'd serve you again. Well, come to find out, unbeknownst to me, I call back home, and on Sunday evening, there was an announcement over there. And they said that the pastor just resigned of the church that I formerly pastored. And so immediately, I'm not thinking in the flesh, I'm thinking in the spirit. Lord, is there a connection here? What a coincidence that you would kind of literally push me out of this position and then create an opportunity which I would desire, which I would thoroughly enjoy to do again. But everything in the Lord's time, and everything in the Lord's will, and everything done the Lord's way, amen? And so I say all that because we came down here this week because your pastor asked if I'd come and fill in for him, but Lord willing, within the next few weeks, we'll know something, whether I'll be pastoring again, the historic Grants Creek Baptist Church in Rising Sun, Indiana. If I've missed that and missed the Lord's will on that, well, then he has something else, but we follow. As the cloud moves, we follow, amen? That's what the children of Israel did. When you have clear signs, you follow those signs. When doors are open, you go through those doors. We don't try to force doors open that are closed. If no door is open at any given time, we wait until God reveals what he'd have next for us. And so, I appreciate being here. I appreciate getting behind the pulpit and teaching and preaching again. I prayed specifically, Lord, what would you have for Jordan this morning? What is the message? What is the bread that you would like me to deliver, that you would like me to give? What do the people need? It was funny, one of my daughters asked, because right now we're staying in two bedrooms, seven of us, or six, how many is there? Seven of us? Wait, five, six, seven of us staying in two bedrooms right now, and it's kind of cramped, and it gets noisy, and so I needed to study. I needed to take time away to seek the will of God for the messages. And so I went down to the library, and one of the girls asked me, they're like, well, why do you got to go and study? What do you have to do? How does God talk to you? How does God show you what to say? And so it was just cute hearing how she would think of, you know, how does the preacher, how does the man of God get the word of God to share with the people of God? And so it's nothing just pulled out, haphazardly. It's nothing that has already been preached before. It's something that I studied, and in God's time and through my devotion, he brought this out. And so this is what we have for this morning for Sunday school. So take your Bible, please turn to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. This will be a topical message. 2 Peter chapter 3. When I say a topical message, I mean that we're not looking at one passage of Scripture. We're not going to expositorily preach line upon line, precept upon precept, but we're going to move around, okay? As I was thinking about these things, and as I study the Word of God, I'll look up words, I'll follow, as you might say, trails of the same theme or pattern, and I came across this statement a few times in the Word of God. And I was familiar with this statement, but I wanted to really look into it a little further. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to be looking specifically at words found in verse 8, but to understand the context, we'll start back in verse 3. The Bible says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing." Now, I want you to just stop and think for a moment. I emphasize those words. This one thing. We'll finish and then we'll pray. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So there was one thing in this specific passage of Scripture that he wanted the people to understand, that he wanted them to think about, that he wanted them to know, because it was going to help them. And so as I studied this one thing, and I looked up the verses, one thing, we see some truths that come to light. And those are the truths that I'd like to share this morning. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer and we'll begin. Father in heaven, I pray that you would help me this morning as I deliver the word of God. Lord, that you would keep my mind clear and free from obstructions. Lord, that you would give me a clarity of speech. Father, that you would give your people ears to hear and eyes to see these truths, that they would find a place in our heart, and Lord, that we would be challenged by the Scriptures this morning to look to you. And this I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I stopped and I thought, okay, what is this one thing from the Scriptures that God would have us to understand? What is one of the most important things the Scripture teaches us? Well, before we can have a relationship with God, we must understand this one thing, and then everything else will fall in place. And what is that one thing? Well, as we look at the text, it says that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So what one thing does man need to understand about this or about God that the Scriptures is teaching? It's this. God is not like you. This is such a fundamental truth that we need to grasp and take hold of, that there is a God, and I am not God. And if there is a God, He must not be like me. Because the Scripture clearly teaches us that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You see, man can't comprehend that. Man doesn't understand that. Man thinks day by day. You see, one day is with 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. This is the one who inhabits eternity, where he is not confined to time or to space. Yet man, we are subject to time. We are subject to space. We are here right now. And we are confined by this time on the clock right now. Whereas God is not. God can be in the past, God can be in the present, and God can be in the future. So why is this so important? Because we must never forget that our God is in the heavens. And He does as He pleases. His ways and His judgments are past finding out. His thoughts are not as our thoughts. And when we're ignorant of this, we begin to make God into our own image. We begin to fashion God as somebody like us. And when we do that, our worship becomes completely invalid, because our doctrine is incorrect. And that's what we see today. People trying to worship God, which it's not being accepted from Him. Why? Because their doctrine, their worship is invalid because their doctrine is incorrect. So we must have a first and foundational truth here, that God is not like man. Let's look at a few verses of Scripture. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. And again, this, yes, what we understand, preacher, that God is not like man, this is a truth that we all know and we all understand. Well, do we act like it? Do we respond to Him like it? Do we worship Him like it? Or is it just me and my man JC, Jesus Christ? Why do people do the things that they do? It's because of what they believe. The Bible says, O Lord, there is none like Thee, neither is there any God beside Thee. The Bible teaches us, who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? We must understand that God is so much bigger and greater than who we are. He is the Creator, and we are the creation. And this one thing, if we get a hold of this one thing, it will revolutionize the way we perceive God. Okay, this is the point here. We must have the proper representation of God. If we do not have the proper representation of God, we cannot have a proper relationship with God, because it will all be built upon false presumptions. Well, I think God is like this. Well, God would not do that. Well, what are we basing it upon? Where are we going, as the man said this morning, for our truth? Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Numbers 23 and verse 19. Simple yet profound truth. Very simple. God is not a man. Amen. God is not a man. And so when we think of God, we have to stop thinking of Him in the likeness of man. God is not a man that He should lie. No, His words are true. His words are right. His words are just. His promises are faithful. Amen. He's unchangeable. That's one thing we need to understand about God. Man changes with every whim, but God does not change. He's unchangeable. Look here with me in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, let's look at another verse of Scripture. Just to let the Bible speak for itself a little bit as we compare Scripture with Scripture. In Isaiah verse 40, this might bring us back down to size. There's this museum up over by our house. Maybe you have visited it. It's the Creation Museum up over in northern Kentucky there. They have a planetarium, and you pay extra for the planetarium. I highly encourage everyone to go. If you can't make it up there, you can order this DVD, or I'm sure you could probably find a way to stream it somehow onto some device so you can watch this. It's called God in the Cosmos. And what it does is it takes you from the Creation Museum and it lifts you all the way up. And it brings you up into the sky, and then it brings you up towards the sun, and it brings you up to the stars, and it brings you out into the universe. And you begin to see how vast of an expanse there is. And we think it's all right here. And we think everything is happening right here. And we can't even begin to comprehend how some of these stars, 40 million moons could fit into one of them. That's how big they are. And we try to bring God down to where we can try to understand Him. No, let's let the Bible just explain Him for us. Let's let the Bible give us the proper representation of God. Listen, it took 66 books to give us an understanding of who God is. But the whole idea of that is to make you feel that big when you're done watching that program. You could sit on a curb and swing your feet, amen? Or sit on a dime, as they say, and swing your feet. You feel that small, and you see how big God is. But look at what the Bible says here in verse 13 through 18. Isaiah 40, verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him? As we read these words, just think of yourself and how you interact with God sometimes. We try to instruct Him, don't we? We try to counsel Him. We try to tell Him what we think is right and what we think is wrong and how something should turn out in our lives or in somebody else's life that we may love. Who's instructing Him? Who's counseling Him? Who's teaching Him the path of judgment? And taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are as counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. The nations, as we know it, is as dust in God's eyes. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. God basically just said, the nations are like a big zero, but not only that, they're less than a big zero. They're less than nothing in His eyes. You see, we have to grasp this one thing. Because when we understand this one thing about God, to have a proper representation of Him, then we can enter into a right relationship with Him. Turn with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Just a few pages over in your Bible. We'll look at a familiar two or three verses here. Verses 8 and 9. This is the Lord speaking. He says, for My thoughts are not your thoughts. And let us never forget that. Because when we begin to think, well, God is thinking like this, or God must want me to do this, or God that, wait, where are we getting that from? His thoughts are not our thoughts. For My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways My ways, saith the Lord. They're different. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are My ways higher than your ways, and My thoughts than your thoughts. They're so much higher. We can't even comprehend it. We can't even understand it. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out, the Apostle Paul said. Oh, the depths, the riches, both of the knowledge and wisdom of God. He's unsearchable. He's unchangeable. He's unmatchable. Amen. We need to have a right representation of God, because without a right representation of God, we begin to worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. And we worship man, and we worship the things that man's hands make, when yet God has made everything. Turn with me to Psalm 50, please. Psalm 50. We need a right representation of our God. I mean, what separates us from any other type of belief system? Well, because we try to believe the Bible, and we emphasize the Bible, and we want the Bible to we hold the Bible up as our truth and as our judgment and as our light, so we can have an understanding of God. Whereas most other religions, they don't, I shouldn't even call it a religion, whereas most other systems of belief, they don't have a guiding light like we do. And so from their own understanding of the way they interact with their world, they try to worship a God. And it's wrong and it's false. But you know what? We can do the same thing too, even as independent Baptists. Well, why are we doing the things that we do today? It's because of what we believe. Our belief dictates our behavior. Look here in Psalm 50 in verse 21. Obviously, this is in a greater context, every verse that we read, but we're going to pull this point out of here. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. This is God speaking. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such an one as thyself. And God had to remind them, no, I'm not. I am not like you. And my thoughts are not like your thoughts. And my ways are not like your ways. And my works are not like your works. They're so much higher. They're so much greater. They're different. What does this verse teach us, and what does it help us to understand, is that when man rejects the truth of the Scriptures, he'll believe anything his sinful mind can fancy. And this is why people worship the way that they do. Because they have rejected the truth found in the Scriptures, and they've believed a lie. But this one thing, 1,000 days, or 1,000 years is a day with the Lord, and a day is as 1,000 years. What is he trying to teach us there? That God's ways are different than our ways. And the way he thinks is different than we think. And we need to understand that. That's why it's so important that we read the Bible, amen, that we study the Word of God, that we meditate upon these truths, because God is very clear about himself. He wants us to know him. He wants us to search the Scriptures, because in them we find him and we understand him. And then when we come to worship him, it's in a reverential fear and an awe of who he is, of his majesty and his power and his glory. And it's not just going through the motions. God's tired of that. Where did that come from? Well, that comes from the heart of man. And so this one thing, amen, we need a proper representation. What's another thing? Well, let's look here in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Because we want to have a right relationship with God. So to have a right relationship with God, we have to have a right representation of God. Now, I don't want to miss a very important point that I think I'm going to cross over. To have a right relationship with God, there must be repentance, amen? When I have a right representation of God, I see that He is holy, He is just, He is righteous. I understand that I am man and I am not, that I am sinful, that I have violated His holy law, that I am worthy of judgment and condemnation. And so I come to Him in simple repentance and faith, and I receive the gift that He has given. By the way, you can read all about that in Mark, where the rich young ruler came to Jesus. He came running to Him and He bowed before Him. Good Master, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? And He goes through the law. He goes through the relationship with man. The second table there, not the first one. Jesus, the guy said, hey, I've done all this from my youth up. What lackest I yet? What did Jesus say? He used this word again. I'm passing over it for right now to get to what I believe the Lord would have us. He said, yet lackest thou one thing. What is that one thing? Go and sell all that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, He said. Yet thou lackest one thing. You see, His heart was still tied to something. His heart was still holding on to something. You see, when we repent, we relinquish our rights to those things that we believe and that we are and our very identity, and we turn to Him. Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of action. But what did that man do? The Bible said he turned away. He was very sorrowful because he was very rich. He did not want to give up his riches. Now, does that mean you have to be poor to go to heaven? No. That's not what Jesus is teaching. Does that mean rich people can't get into heaven? No, that's not what He's teaching. What He's teaching is that your heart is tied to something, and unless you repent of that, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. Oftentimes, God will put His thumb on one thing, though there's a list of sins we've committed against Him when we come to Him. But normally, He deals with something very specific, and God knew exactly what it was with this man. Yet lackest thou one thing. Hey, listen, this morning, what is the one thing that you may lack? Have you repented of your sins? Have you believed the gospel? Or is your heart still hanging on to something? You just cannot let go of it. Don't let that one thing keep you from a holy God in a loving relationship. So when you have the right representation of God and you have repentance, then you can have a relationship. Look here in Luke chapter 10. Let's start in verse 40. No, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. What is that one thing? Here it is again. One thing. One thing is needful. When you have the right representation of God and you repent of your sins, then you can enter into a relationship with Him. And the one thing that is needful in that relationship is that you're with Him. You see, many things are important. Many things are urgent. We get very busy and very caught up, even those that may be finding themselves serving. But let's not replace our service for spirituality. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, amen. She wasn't fretting. She was focused. She was focused on what? Hearing His word. It's needful for us to sit and learn from Jesus. It's needful for us to spend time in fellowship with Him and in prayer. And you know what? Mary hath chosen that good part. You see, it'll take a choice if you want to have a right relationship with God. You have to choose. Yes, Lord, I want to sit at Your feet and learn. Though I could be cumbered about and doing much things, I choose You. You must want Him. Not to know about him, to know the things he's doing. No, I want to know him. I want to spend time with him. I want to be with him. And so therefore a choice must be made. Nobody forced her to make this choice. You see, to have a right relationship with God, our priorities must be right. We must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, as the Bible teaches us. Listen, you may find yourself this morning like Martha, careful and troubled about many things. That word careful, it means anxious. Anxious. Maybe you're a wife, maybe you're a mother. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you find yourself anxious. You're worried. You're distracted. You're doubting. You're fretting. You don't know what to do. You don't know what's going on. And your mind is a mess. You need to separate from that for a moment. Amen? And when Jesus is in the house, you just need to sit down and shut up and listen to what he has to say. And let him speak to you. Faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the Word of God. And when we sit at Jesus' feet, he's going to be sharing with us the Word of God. And that Word of God is going to challenge us and transform us and renew our mind into the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get in our Bible, amen? By the way, is Martha completely in the wrong here? No, because you know what? Hey, Martha, if you're here this morning, Jesus loves you. He makes it clear in John chapter 11 and verse 5 that he loved her. Hey, listen, Jesus loves us even when we find ourselves doing the things that we're just busy and distracted and we're not focused on what's important. And what will have eternal values and what will be lasting and what will help our families and help our churches. Hey, remember, Martha, she got a little, I don't know if she got mad or snippy, but you know, she started telling Jesus what to do. Jesus, tell her to come and help. You see, when your mind is distracted and you're not focused on the one thing needful and the one thing that's important, we then forget who we're dealing with. This is God. But he rebukes and chastens those that he loves. And maybe this morning you need to be rebuked. Maybe this morning you need the chastening hand of God to bring you back into the right relationship with him. Because you've lost your focus and you're running in 1,000 different directions. Sit at his feet. Have a readiness to hear and receive and submit to him. What's keeping you from him this morning? Let's get focused on the one thing. Let's get focused and realigned. The one thing that's needful. The one thing that's necessary. Turn with me to Psalm 27, please. Psalm 27. When we have a proper representation of who God is, we'll repent because we realize who he is, and then we enter into a relationship with him. And then those things that were missing are now found in our life, and then we only desire one thing. Psalm 27 and verse 4. Here we see it again. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. You see, the perception of who God is and the priorities are now lined up and now I can be focused. Now I have no excuses and there's no neglects. It's rather a preference now that I'm going to seek after him and I'm going to desire him. And because a divided aims tend towards distraction. But now I've brought it into a focus here, and now one thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You see, there had to be a change that took place in his heart for him to desire this, right? I mean, this isn't natural. We just don't naturally desire to seek after God. But to understand our desires are in accordance with our beliefs. And so whatever we believe, then we're going to go after and we're going to desire. That will I seek after. There's action there. There's emotion there. There's strength. There may be time and you may have to spend money. And you seek after what you desire. Look at verse 8. Same chapter. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Lord, all my desires now, all my focus is on the one thing. Because I live in this wicked world and it's so distracting and it's pulling me all different directions. And I'm wanting to be faithful and I'm wanting to be fruitful in my walk for you. And so, Lord, help me in my relationship. Help me build my life around this one thing. What one thing? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Let's be here at church, amen. Let's share in fellowship one with another. Let's not just go through the motions and let's pray together and let's listen to the preaching together and let's respond together and let's let it be real in our lives again. The church house, the pillar and ground of truth. Amen. Is this your desire? If I can, just keep you for two more minutes. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. If this is your desire, there's another one thing that you will do. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. You see, we're not lacking the one thing now. Now we're desiring the one thing and we're doing the one thing. And what is it? This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forgetting those things which are behind. That means to loose it out of the mind. To lose it out of the mind. The things which are behind. What things are behind? Well, his past that he just went through, verses 4 through 8. All my past failures and all my past sins and the things that I did before I came to know Christ, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. I've put my hand to the plow and I'm not looking back. Because you know what? It's going to take my eyes off of the one thing that I desire. I'm going to lose my very identity, Christ, in who you are because I'm forgetting those things which are behind and I'm pressing towards those things which are before. I'm striving and I'm reaching forth for those things. That's why he could say, I am crucified with Christ. I've died, but yet I live. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's running the race now. He's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why? Because it all comes back to the very foundational and fundamental truth of having a right understanding of who God is. Because when the creature understands who the Creator is, he's going to give him his all. He's going to worship him with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's going to love him with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Paul could say, for me to live is Christ. So what are you hanging on to? What is holding you back? What one thing do you need to get a hold of this morning? I pray that God would reveal that to you and that you would respond to him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you for this little devotional here in Sunday school. I pray, Lord, that you have challenged our hearts to consider some of these truths, to consider our relationship with thee. Father, if we're found wanting, I pray that we'd be found at the altar seeking mercy and help in our time of need. That, Lord, we could have a right relationship with you. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.